The one who deserves all glory. Who is this God? Like Coel was saying, oh no, he's not for me. You know, and the guy said, oh yeah? You can't imagine how much he's for you. Like, we think we know God, and then God shows us himself. And that's who God is. He comes, and we think we have one presupposition in our mind, and he reveals himself to us. His name's Emmanuel. You know, he came from heaven to earth. And Lord, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence. We worship you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. So who is God? Who is God? Who is God to? That's not the one. I mean, that is the one probably, but you can change that. I had a little template so I don't have to keep recreating that little thing. And I forgot to put the date in there. Luke 10:22. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And who the Father is except the Son. And no one to who and the one to whom the Son will reveal him. So who knows? No one. No one knows except. Aren't you glad that it's written except? Like, otherwise we wouldn't know. Like, except. Thank God for the exception. If we want to know the Father, we need to know the Son. Right? The Son is the exception, how we can know the Father. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus speaking. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thank God for except. This is amazing. Like, no one can know God except through Jesus Christ. And isn't it great when he sends someone to tell Joel about Jesus? And even when Joel says no, he says yes. Here, let me tell you who he is. And the Son reveals the Father. And as we spoke about last week, the Scriptures testify of him, and the Spirit testifies of Jesus, right? And so when we know Jesus, we know the Father, because he is revealed in the Son. And how can we know Jesus? How can we know Jesus? Who wants to know Jesus in a greater way today? Like, we get closer. Like, that's actually our purpose in life. Like, what is my purpose in life? To know God and to make him known. It's very simple. Like, and how can I know God? Well, here's two ways. Read your Bible. And pray that the Spirit will reveal to you what he's saying. And Ephesians 1:17, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need a revelation. We need God to reveal himself to us. Creation. Creation reveals the glory of God. And then he's found in the body, right? You're looking for the one who walks amongst the candlesticks? Go to a candlestick. You know, he's going to be there walking amongst the candlesticks. He's in the body. You'll see him. You look in each other's face. You speak to each other in the spirit, spiritual things. Not just temporal things. Talk to each other about the word. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. And you'll begin to use your gifts with each other. And you'll see Christ in each other because he's found in the body. And God uses people. Philip was sent to the Ethiopian. Peter was sent to Cornelius. Like, God uses people to reveal himself. People who know Jesus tell other people about Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. You want to get to know God? You come through Jesus. The woman at the well, Jesus told her, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. She's like, I know you've had five husbands and the one you're with isn't your husband. And nobody, like, she was shocked that he knew this. But he tells her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Who is this Jesus? If you knew, you'd ask him for living water. Like, he's the one who gives living water. This is who he is. He's got the water. Anybody thirsty? He's got the water. He's got the living water. John 4:25-26. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. This is who Messiah is. The one, when he comes, is going to tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am the Messiah. I who speak to you am the one who can tell you all things. And he can tell us things. He knows our innermost thoughts and workings. And if you knew who it was who was talking to you, you would come and say, search me and try me. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties or concerns. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. He can lead us in the way everlasting. We are not going to lead ourselves in that way. We're not going to find it some other way. We're not going to find the everlasting God through anything else except through Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this. Like, maybe life is throwing you confusion. Anybody ever get in a pickle where it's like, I can't get out of this. I have to go down this path, and it's awful. Like, there's a cross. I'm going to die. What's going to happen to me? And it's confusion. It's a riddle, and you don't know what to do. But Jesus does. He has the way everlasting. He has the way. He can tell you what to do. And it'll profound you, like, some way that outside of the box that we're thinking in, because those are our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He'll go outside it into another dimension. And he knows your heart better than you know your heart. Sometimes we talk ourselves into thinking we're pretty good. Remember Pastor Michal's message? He's like, I'm the worst guy ever. Yeah, that's what Paul said, right? It's like, and in one sense, in our flesh dwells no good thing. That's what Paul said. I do the things I don't want to do. And then what did he say? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's a good question. Who is it that's going to do that? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. To walk, he gives you the direction to walk in the way everlasting. That's the way to walk. John 4:29. Come, see a man who told me. He's the one who tells you all the things you ever did. He can search everything in you and show you everything about you. And ask him to search your heart and lead you in the way everlasting. John 3:31. He who comes from above is above all. He who comes from heaven is above all. Who came from heaven? Jesus. That's where he came from. And he went back to his father's house to prepare a place for you. Ephesians 1:21, he's far above. He's above all, but he's far above all the demons. Every demon that you could imagine, every rank of demons, Satan himself, he's far above everything and every name that is to be named now and in the future. He's far above. He's so far above. So if you ever get attacked in the spiritual realm, who are you going to call on? The name of Jesus, who is far above anything else that could possibly attack you, right? Romans 8:38, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And it goes through a list of stuff, and it lists demons. No angel, no nothing created, nothing can separate us from the love of God. John 5:11, he who made me well said, take up your bed and walk. So he said, take up your bed and walk. So don't fellowship in your sickness, right? The whole head is sick, and who can know it? My heart is desperately wicked in the old man, right? But he's given us a new heart. We have a new man. It says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Don't fellowship in your sickness and sin and death. Fellowship in the new man and life and the new creation. He who made me well said, you're free. You're free to walk with God. You're free to take the bed up and start walking. You're free to walk with God. And you're a new creation. He made you well. And what will Satan say? No, you're not. You're sick. Don't take up that bed. You can't get up. But what did he say? Get up. Walk. In the way everlasting. Walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not well. I can't walk. That's sight. Of course you're not well. Put off the old man and put on the new man and walk in that. Walk in Jesus. And you may have to be in spiritual physical therapy. I just said that so that you get an imagery of physical therapy, right? But it's really just called spiritual therapy because it's not spiritual physical therapy. It's just spiritual therapy. But you get an image of what spiritual therapy is, right? With the parallel bars, you ever seen some of those movies where like people get in a car wreck and then they become a professional basketball player? Yes, later, you know, they're on the parallel bars and it hurts. And what do they have? They have a therapist, a physical therapist next to them saying, go, 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 you can do it, go. And then when the physical therapist gets up, they're saying, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And they do things that nobody thought they could do. And so think of it not as just as a physical analogy for our spiritual walk. And the spiritual physical therapy, the spiritual therapy is the body of Christ. We come to the gym. We go move and have some bodybuilding. You know, and it might mess up our physical body. Our elbow might hurt, but spiritually we're energized. And think of Jacob after he wrestled with the angel. He had some spiritual therapy. Physically, he's leaning on a staff, but spiritually, he sees Joseph saving all of Israel. You know, his name's Israel now. Joseph saves all the kids. Spiritually, that's what he sees. Physically, he's on the staff. And God made you a spiritual new man. So take up your bed and walk. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. And so we pray for a manifestation of the Spirit, right? We pray for a revival. We pray for a move of the Spirit an anointing, whatever you call it, that's what we know. That's what we need. We don't even know what to call it, but we know we need it. We need him to move in our life and in the church. And did you know that, you know, there's cults and things that deny that Jesus is the creator, right? But then there's also this crowd, and Jesus is the creator, Colossians 1, 15 and 16. Then there are those who deny that the Father or the Holy Spirit took part in creation. Can you imagine that? They're called the Oneness, Holiness Pentecostal movement. You might run into them from time to time. And one of the things they don't believe, they believe Jesus created everything and the Father and the Son were not involved in it because they believe in what's called modalism. Like the Father changed into the Son, then the Son changed into the Holy Spirit. But no, they were there together at creation. These three agree. They're together. They have a council. They agree on things. They're not separate things that change forms. But so, you know, Titus 3:9, avoid foolish disputes, but no sound teaching, no sound doctrine. Like the Trinity was involved in creation, right? So one of the things that had my mind in a little, they'll ask you, and somebody asked me this a long time ago. I had no idea what they were talking about. They were like, I met this pastor, and he was like, oh, well, what name do you baptize in? And I'm like, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? And he's like, aha, good, you're okay. I'm like, why did he ask that? And then I found out that this movement is you only baptize in the name of Jesus. And so when you start looking in the Great Commission, it says to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then there's other verses in Acts after the Pentecost where it says go baptize in the name of Jesus. It doesn't say the Father and the Holy Spirit. So this is what they're relying on. So like regardless, I don't know. But I baptized Starley yesterday in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I said. It sounded redundant, but I'm like, you know what? We'll just cover all the bases here according to the Bible, and we don't have to understand everything, right? But, and actually, a lot is a mystery. We trust God, right? But we do understand, like, things that are in the Bible. And we understand that that the Holy Spirit took part in creation. And some people say it didn't. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Elohim. This is the name of God. It's a singular name, but it has some little plural connotation to it. And I heard somebody say it's like a cluster of bananas or a cluster of grapes. It's got the plural and the singular to it. So you got one God and three persons were in the beginning. And the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, right? And then God spoke, and Jesus is the Word, right? And then in Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image. But yet it's one God. And where's the Holy Spirit? Genesis 2:7 says, God formed man of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God did that. He breathed. That's the Holy Spirit. In Greek, I think it's like pneumatos or something. It's like akin to pneumatic tools, you know, like pneumatic. It's air. God breathed. That's the Holy Spirit. And then Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Psalm 104:30, you sent forth your Spirit. They are created. Move along to John 8. I've got a little bit more. Should I stop there, or you want to go another 5 minutes? Okay. It is my Father who honors me. This is what Jesus said. And God tells us to worship the Son. Isn't that cool? So if you have any problem worshiping Jesus, hey, God tells us to do it. Just do it. Worship Jesus and you'll see who the Father is. And remember this when you read, and one of the songs was talking about that, all glory to Jesus. In Revelation, you'll read, all glory and honor and power be unto the Lamb, to Jesus. He gets it all. And then John 9:35, do you believe in the Son of God? And this is the blind man who received his sight. So liken that to a believer. Okay, now I believe in Jesus, like I received my sight. He says, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered, said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And sometimes Jesus is right in front of us and we don't ask the pertinent question. This is a great prayer. Who are you, Lord, that I may believe in you? Like, I want to know you more. I want to believe more. I want more faith. Show me who you are. Don't just say, give me more faith. Show me who, because if he shows us who he is, we're going to have more faith. Show us who you are. I want to believe in you. I want to walk with you. And sometimes we don't ask the question because we're daydreaming, you know, or asleep and ignoring the conversation that he's initiating. He's bringing it to another level. We're having like a temporal conversation. And then it comes to another level, and we're like, I don't know how many times, and I think sometimes it's spiritual. Like I've been witnessing, anybody ever been witnessing to somebody? They're talking to them about the Lord, and there's this concentration. And then you take it to another level, and they all of a sudden they're like looking at the trees or some people over there, and they can't concentrate. It's like daydreaming. It's spiritual. It is. And like, so we need to like realize like when, who we're talking to. If you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked, you know, like we need to realize like, whoa, this is another level. This is the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, we have to pay attention. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And sometimes God's right there. And like, if he were trying to speak, do we listen? Not all the time, right? Not all the time. Is it important? Is it important when he's trying to speak? Not all the time. Like, sometimes we're apathetic, right? But it is important. We need to see who God is, and like, he's holy, he's important, I need to pay attention. And so I was thinking of this, me daydreaming, anybody ever daydream when they try to read? Like you just read a whole chapter in the Bible and then you're like, what did I just read? I read it and I was thinking about something else. What's going on here? So Jesus said to his disciples, can you pray for just 1 hour? Like he's facing all the hordes of darkness and sweat and blood. He's going to go to the cross and they can't even pray for an hour. And we're like, yeah, those disciples, they can't even pray for an hour. You ever try to pray for an hour? Anybody here pray for an hour? Yeah, like you can do it. You can pray for an hour, but you have to like set in your heart, like this is important. This is important. I'm going to do this and I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay attention. 30 to 40 minutes. Could you stay awake if you had to drive 40 minutes? Say you had to drive 40 minutes. Would you stay awake? Now what, could you really pay attention to the road? Now, or other cars coming in. One time I was out west on a motorcycle and it was this long straight road and I'm driving on a road, you think you're paying attention when you're driving. It's like a straight road. And somebody had pulled off of this dusty little road, and I didn't even see him. I was flying up on him. I was like, whoa, where did they come from? It was a straight road. I should have seen them. You know, because I'm thinking I'm familiar with it. There's nobody on this road. I haven't seen anybody in an hour. You know, and all of a sudden, whoa, there's somebody pulled out in front of me. But So like, because it's important to pay attention when you're driving, right? Is it important to pay attention when you're driving? Then it's important to pay attention when you're hearing from God. Like, pay attention to it. And so what would you do if you're sleeping when you're driving? Give me some suggestions. Falling asleep. You're falling asleep. What would you do?
Drink McDonald's.
Huh?
McDonald's coffee.
Coffee. Okay.
Have my wife drive.
Have your wife drive. Okay. Well, you'd pull over and make another plan, right? Loud music. You bring something, roll the window down, smack yourself in the face. You know, like, this is important. I can't run off the road, right? Like, okay, you might stop. What would you do when you stop? You might take a nap, but if you weren't going to take a nap, you were going to drive, you'd get out, you'd stretch, you'd walk into the store, maybe get your coffee, walk back, and now you're a little bit invigorated, right? So, like, yeah. And and the other thing is, too, like, when you're the driver, there's a freedom. But there's not a freedom to fall asleep because it's important, right? But there's a freedom what you do when you're driving. And there's a freedom how close you pay attention. And, you know, when you teach younger people to drive, that's one of the things you teach them. Pay attention. You got to watch for those cars coming out over there. Watch for the, pay attention, right? You got to think ahead. And so, yeah, but, and also, like, I was thinking, too, like, if we're daydreaming, I'm reading my Bible. I've done it twice, maybe three times. Read this section. What did I just read? What did I just read? Okay, I'm going to read the section. This is important. I'm going to pay attention and listen while I read. Pay attention, right? And then it happens. Like, God says something to me. Or I actually just learned something. Or maybe I don't know what happened. Later on, I'll remember something, right? So, why do I do that? Because it's important, right? So if somebody were to give you $1 million to stay awake while you're driving 30 to 40 minutes, could you do it at any point of the night? Could you get up at 4 in the morning and do it? Could you get up at any time during the day and do it? Has God ever woken you up in your sleep and said, hey, pray for this. Hey, get up and read your Bible. Legia does it. She can't sleep a lot. I wake up and the light's on in the living room. She's out there reading her Bible, you know. But when I go out there to read my Bible, usually when I can't sleep, I roll around and toss and I'll pray in bed. But sometimes I'm like really sleepy. I mean, I'm like, I want to go back to sleep. And God's like, go out there and read your Bible. I'm like, no, I don't want to go out there and read my Bible. I want to sleep. You know, but if it's important enough, if somebody gave you $1 million, is that important enough?
No.
You could do it. Like I'm saying, like, God is more important than $1 million, right?
Amen.
You could do it. You could do it. And you can do it. You can focus and hear. That's how important it is to hear. It's very important to hear. And maybe we can't hear because somebody else is distracting us. Well, focus and ignore that, right? And ignore thoughts of what you're going to have for lunch or what's going to happen at the funeral later. Ignore thoughts about other things too, right? Don't distract others, but at the same time, we have freedom, right? We have freedom to drive or not to drive. We have freedom to come to church or not to come to church. We have freedom, but it's important. Like, use your freedom and walk with God, right? And then also, like, we don't know everybody's situation. Somebody could have prostate problems. They could have drunk a big 7-Eleven coffee right before they came in here. Like, we don't know why somebody's getting up and going out there. They could have gotten an emergency call. Like, we don't know if somebody's on medication and dozing off. We don't know anything, right? So we don't need to judge anybody. We have freedom to do whatever we want, but also let's not be distracted and let's not distract. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So when did he say this? After he heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear from God, it increases our faith, and we believe and we worship. And when he said the same things to the Pharisees, they didn't receive it. They didn't believe any of it, right? This is Jesus, Almighty God, standing right in front of them, and they sought to kill him. Jesus, who is full of grace and truth, he's full of it. He's not going to lie to them. And to the world, the truth has a stench of death. They love darkness, and to our flesh it does too. And because we have a flesh, this can happen in our walk. God will present us with a quiet moment, a song here in church, a word, and the Holy Spirit will whisper, do you believe in the Son of God? You know, like that song, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the Son of God. You know, like that song. As you're singing that song, the Holy Spirit's like, do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe that? You know who he is? Do you recognize him this moment? Recognize him, this presence, and then you'll be like, Lord, I believe. Hear him, worship him, who's holy. And then finally, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We recognize it. We're his flock. I'm just an under-shepherd. You're the flock of Jesus. I'm just an under-shepherd. And I know them and they follow me. They follow the voice that told them everything about themselves, who searched their heart. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who is the Father? He's the one who gave us to Jesus. And he's greater than all. And no one, there's no exception here, no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. So it's pretty clear, we're in his hand, we're safe. The Lord is my shepherd. And how do we get eternal life? How did we get eternal life? He gives it to us. He gave it to us. How do we think that somehow we could get it some other way after he already gave it to us? And we belong to Jesus because the Father gave us to him. We're protected. He's above, he's greater than all. Nobody can mess with us. We belong to him. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us who you are. Show us who are you, Lord? Show us more who you are. We want to know you more. Show us more each day, each week, each moment. Show us as we walk one step after another, we may walk in the way everlasting. Yes, Lord. If anybody here doesn't know Jesus, he loves you. He died for you on the cross. Just receive the gift of salvation. It's a gift. Just receive it. Forgiveness of your sins. You may have said in the past, he's not for me. But like Joel said, the guy said, he's more for you than you could ever imagine. Receive him. And may we realize every day that he is more for us than we could ever imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.